Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Fathers invariably respond to the requests of their kids. In a parable, Jesus says it's the same with God the Father. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, he said. Today, more inspiring lessons on the mystery of prayer. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Today we turn again to Luke chapter 11 for more lessons on getting prayer right.
Learn to develop your relationship with God. Jesus moved from friendship to sonship, intimacy, by which we call and cry out, Abba, Father. You know what? I think that's the meaning of that promise that we have so much difficulty with. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. And we say it's not true. If you take delight in God, he will pour into you desires, yes. And you're going to have to submit to those desires, and they may not be your desires, but at the end of the day, you receive the desires of your heart. But you delight in God. So I think the contrast here is between friendship and sonship. There's a second contrast, and that is between reluctance, and willingness. You know, the man who's in bed says, I can't get up. Well, Jesus said, no, he didn't say that. He eventually, of course, did get up and disturbed his children and all. But I wouldn't be very happy if you came to me at midnight for 3 loaves of bread. I would do it because, after all, I'm the pastor of the church, and you might tell others that Pastor Lutzer refused to give me 3 loaves of bread that he had. But, you know, this wouldn't be my happiest moment. Now, notice, Jesus is contrasting the reluctance of the man to get out of bed with God. How much more will your heavenly Father? If a friend is willing to get out of bed, if a son asks for a fish and receives a fish, and asks for an egg and gets one, how much more will your Father bless you? You say, but Pastor Lutzer, this is very difficult because why then does he not answer all of my prayers? Isn't that huge? Think of the bitter people that there are because God didn't answer their prayers. I don't have an answer to all that. Long ago, I have given up on understanding all the nuances of God's ways. But I do know this, that God doesn't answer our prayers immediately because he does say persistence is important. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Keep knocking. That's the idea in the text. And what God is saying is, I want to stretch your faith. I want to develop your faith. I want to give you lots of needs so you end up coming to me and realize that you need me more than you need answers to your needs. George MacDonald, I love this. He was asked, you know, if God knows all the needs we have, why doesn't he just meet them? And he gave this illustration. He said, when a child runs away from home, he said, the child comes back because he's hungry. In fact, I did that at about the age of 5 or 6. I decided I was going to run away from home. Argument with brothers and sisters, and I could get along on my own. So I ran through the wheat fields, and you know what? I got hungry and thought, you know, maybe home isn't that bad. So I snuck back. But George MacDonald says that that child needs to realize that he needs his mother even more than he does his supper. And the prodigal son was hungry. Now, if the prodigal could have prayed to his father, if we think of the father as being God, and saying, oh God, fill my stomach. Fill my stomach because I'm hungry. I'm tired here eating with the pigs. Would the father have done it? No. The father would say, I'm not going to fill your stomach. What I want you to do is to realize that that hunger is a reminder. Would you come home, please, and realize that you need me more than you need a full stomach? Again, if I might quote Larry Crabb, he says, if you try to get things from God without first praying to get more of God himself, your petitions will sound more like the rantings of a spoiled brat than requests of a dependent child. If the transition, the understanding, and the contrast is between friendship and sonship, it teaches us to delight in God. If the contrast is also between reluctance and willingness, it teaches us to trust God. I don't always know why God says no. There's no doubt that there are people who pray with good motives for the advance of the gospel and for the amazing extension of God's kingdom, and they don't get their answers. All that I know is the words of Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'll trust him when I get answers to prayer. I'll trust him when I don't get answers to prayer. Because let me say it again, my friend, if you are only need-based, if that's all, you will become bitter. You will become angry. But if we find delight in God, we'd say, God, I can delight in you. I can take hope in you. I can trust in you through the word of God, even when you say no. Blessed are those who love God and his presence that much. There is now a third and final contrast that I see in this passage, and that is the contrast between good things and the best things. Good things and the best things. Notice Jesus said in verse 13, if you are evil, and by that he means, you know, you're a sinner. He doesn't mean evil with a capital E when we speak of someone as being evil. And you give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Wow. God says, it's important for you to get bread. I understand that, but I have something better for you than bread, and that is the gift of the Spirit. Furthermore, it's the kind of gift that only God can give. You know, you couldn't go to a friend at midnight, knock on the door, and say, I want you to give me the Holy Spirit. You can't do that. He can give you 3 loaves of bread, but he can't give you the Holy Spirit. Only God can give those kinds of gifts, and those are the best gifts. Some people have struggled and they've said, well, you know, we don't have to receive the Holy Spirit or pray for it because all believers are indwelt by the Spirit, and that is correct. Maybe what Jesus means is this, that we receive the Spirit's fullness, we receive more of the Spirit. God loves to fill us with his Spirit. And we come into his presence and during those times of communion, we have fellowship with him. He reveals our sin and our need to yield. But at the end of the day, he's responding to these requests. And he gives us the best gifts. I tell you today that your greatest need is not financial, and that's not to at all downplay the needs that some of you have. And we want to help you if we can meet those needs. But the greatest isn't for health. Our greatest need is always for a fresh appreciation and communion with God. And he gives us the best gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are here today and you need the gift of forgiveness, don't you? It's hard for you to admit it to yourself because you may have come here with defense mechanisms and reasons why you do not want to receive Christ as Savior. I pray that God will break through those defenses and you'll realize, yes, what I need is God's forgiveness. What I need is the gift of righteousness that only God can give. And he gives these best gifts. And he promises us the best gifts if we but ask of him. The contrast is between good gifts and the very best gifts. And then we're content with his answer. And we're not going to abandon God because he didn't answer our prayers, because we have found a delight in him that is so strong, that means so much to us, that we hang on to that and take delight in it even when the world goes bad and a child drowns, and we go through times of sorrow and agony and all kinds of unanswered questions. But at the end of the day, there is God for us saying, please show up. He loves you. And that's what prayer is all about. It's called relational praying. I began this message by talking about some people who look at prayer like an oxygen mask, only for crises, and you hope no crises will come, because you don't want that mask dropping on you because the flight has gone bad. I want you, rather than to think of such a thing as prayer as an oxygen mask, instead realize that for those of us who are believers, it actually is oxygen. Can't live without it. Can't get a day past a day without it. Remember that only desperate people pray, so God keeps us desperate all the time. Why? He says, keep coming, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking me, and build a relationship with me that is strong enough to weather the unanswered questions of life. If you've never received Christ as Savior, you can even do that where you are seated. Just ask him to save you. Ask him for the gift of righteousness. Ask him for the gift of forgiveness. If you, being evil, are able to do these things for your kids, think of what God will do to those who simply ask. And if you will, let us pray. Father, we think today of the words of Jesus, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Forgive us, Father, for concentrating on all these things and forgetting to seek God. Now, I want you to pray to God. Say to him whatever you need to tell him at this moment. What do you need? What bitterness do you have to confess? To lay it at his feet and begin a life that pursues the living God. Hear our prayer, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I hope that I've encouraged you to build your relationship with God, to strengthen it. To remember, at the end of the day, the most important thing is our relationship with him, our trust of him. Sit in a chair, go for a walk, and begin to talk and begin to worship to the Lord God Almighty. Thanks again for joining us for Running to Win. For the many of you who pray for us, you support us, we are deeply grateful. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. I hope today goes much better than you thought it might, and I'll see you right here next time on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding Getting Prayer Right, the second in a series of messages from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. When someone wrongs you, you may react with a bitterness that can ruin your life. Next time on Running to Win, Getting Forgiveness Right. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.